Christmas greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Todd, one of the pastors here at First Family. Today is Tuesday, December 17th. Welcome aboard. Glad you're listening in, and thanks for taking time to give us a few minutes of your day during this Christmas season to gain some extra insight, some additional observation or further application regarding the text and the topic from which we preached the previous Sunday. And today will be no exception to that general rule for the podcast. I want to answer a question that came in from one of our listeners. They were there Sunday, and they asked this question. It really regards Revelation 5, which is a scene regarding the throne in heaven and the worship of the Lamb on the throne. And so this question came in because I did talk about the office of Christ as king. And so in that section of the message, I talked about the throne and the sovereign rule of Christ the King, even differentiating Christ as King before the incarnation, and of course, Christ Jesus as King and the ascension and his taking of the throne and the seating on the right hand, those kinds of things. So we did a good bit of preaching around this kingly office of Christ. And so that's where this question comes from. Let me read for you the question. I think I can simplify it as well, but it's a very insightful one. He says, I have a question about Revelation 5. Is that a future event, or was that when Jesus ascended between his death, resurrection? Or is it an event that is not specifically time-bound? And I think here he's referring to maybe something that is within the category of the already and not yet. He mentions that in his question. So he's curious, and I think this is a simplified way to say it, is there a time frame for Revelation 5? Or what is the time when Revelation 5 takes place? Like, is there a place where you fit Revelation 5 in the historical work of God? So it's a good question. I think a lot of preachers and pastors, a lot of people, Christians in general, will take Revelation 5, and it's a very motivating scripture. It's one like Revelation 7, where there's the worship of the Lamb, and we see folks from nations and languages and tribes and tongues worshiping the Lord. This one in Revelation 5 has at least two areas in which the crucifixion is looked at, and it's the reason he can take the scroll and open it. And so there's a lot of metaphor here. There's a lot of symbolism. It's a beautiful chapter. So is there a time frame for it? When does it happen, or what is it communicating to us in regards to its chronological nature? And here's what I would offer as an answer and a perspective. I say this knowing that there are various views and interpretations, not only of Revelation as a whole, but of various events in Revelation. How you read Revelation is a pretty important matter in regards to how you interpret the book as a whole. I personally see Revelation as a series of events repeated. It's called the recapitulation theory. I don't see it as a chronological book from start to finish, but rather as a repeating story of God's story. And so Revelation, in my mind, Revelation 5 fits in that in this way. I believe it is an account of Christ being qualified, and I'll use that word in the right sense. In other words, now that he has incarnated and he's known as Jesus, and then Jesus Christ died, was the only one worthy to pay for our sins and to cleanse us and to forgive us and to make purification for sins, as Hebrews says, then that gave him the right to open the scrolls. And so that's what the scene is describing, is this moment in heaven, apparently, where there's no one able, there's no one qualified, there's no one able to open the scrolls. But then, of course, they see one. This is verse 6. They see one like a slaughtered lamb standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes. They're the seven spirits of God. They're sent into all the earth. He went and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. And of course, he opens it. And of course, verse 12, he's now worthy, the one who was slaughtered, the lamb, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And of course, then every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, They say the same thing, blessing and honor and glory and power. And so this moment, I believe, is describing what is happening in heaven now. And it's what's happening in heaven now to the bodily resurrected Jesus Christ in visible form. So this is happening in heaven, and it will continue to happen in heaven until, I believe, Christ returns again and then consummates his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. So I believe this is what's happening in heaven. It's the worship of Jesus Christ in bodily form. This does not mean that God wasn't worshiped before this, but it is a differentiating factor in this way that before the incarnation, crucifixion and resurrection and then ascension, the worship of God, the Trinitarian God, the God in three persons, happened. It was going on for sure, but there was not a visible bodily Jesus. There was the eternal Christ, the Messiah. So now the ascension did occur. Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high, and he's being visibly, physically, bodily worshiped by the elders and the living creatures, and of course, everything under heaven, on the sea. In other words, Jesus Christ is reigning. He has received from the Father the kingdom, and this is what's occurring in heaven currently now, and it will continue on. So as far as a time frame, the best answer would be, in my opinion, to say something like this. Revelation 5 describes what began after the ascension and what is continuing in heaven in regards to the bodily, physical worship of Jesus Christ, the ascended King. And this will continue until Jesus Christ in bodily form, as Acts 1 says, returns in like manner as he went away. And then he will actually fulfill what we've been praying for, the Lord taught us to pray. Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so in heaven, this is occurring. One day this will occur in a consummated fashion across the earth. And so I'm excited for that day. And this is why we pray, Lord Jesus, come. And so we pray that together. We wait expectingly. This is what 1 Thessalonians talks about when it says we've turned to God from idols, we serve the living and true God, and we wait for his Son from heaven. And so we are waiting expectantly. We're working fervently. These are all things we're doing, but we are confidently waiting for the return of the bodily Jesus, who currently, right now in heaven, is receiving worship as King Jesus, one who is reigning and ruling from the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. That's the time frame and the chronological placement of Revelation 5 as best I see it. And I trust that's a good answer for the one who asked it. I did get his text on Sunday night, and my simple response to him was, I'll answer this on Tuesday. So he's probably chuckling now even and perhaps grinning, but I hope that's a good answer. Admittedly, there may be some other perspectives. I think there are some areas in this book, Revelation, that we can disagree agreeably on. This is my perspective, how I see it. I think it fits the overall flow of the book, and I think it fits the genre of the book and the way the book is structured. But again, if you see it differently, I think there is some, you know, room here that we can have disagreement and still be agreeable. So I hope that answer helps. That's kind of what we do on the Extra Point podcast. And I trust that you have a wonderful holiday season. I look forward to seeing many of you this Sunday, our final Sunday of Advent at First Family. Until then, God bless you. And let us pray continually, Lord Jesus, come.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.